In 1 Chronicles, we continue the series I'm working on in West Albany, where David is preparing for the temple of the Lord to be built. And so let's read two passages from Scripture in connection with David preparing the Levites to sing and praise the Lord in the temple with musical instruments. We'll read from the New Testament. 1 Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 16. Colossians 3, we begin reading at verse 1 and we'll read to verse 16. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So far from Colossians chapter 3, let's also turn to the last book of the New Testament, Revelation chapter 14, and we'll read the verses 1 to 5. Revelation 14, beginning at verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing with harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And so let's turn to our text. Our text is 1 Chronicles 25, verse 1 to 8. First Chronicles 25, beginning at verse 1. Moreover, David and the captains of the army separated for the service some of the sons of Asaph, Heman, and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, stringed instruments, and cymbals. And the number of the skilled men performing the service was of the sons of Asaph, Zachur, Joseph, Nethaniah, Asherelah. The sons of Asaph were under the direction of Asaph, who prophesied according to the order of the king. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zeri, Jeshiah, Shimei, Hashabiah, and Mathatiah, six, under the direction of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord. Of Heman, the sons of Heman, Bukiah, Mataniah, Uziel, Shebuel, Jeremoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliathah, Gedalti, Ramamtiz Ezer, Josh Bekeshah, Malathi, Hothir, and Mahazioth. All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, in the words of God, to exalt his horn. For God gave Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. All these were under the direction of their father, for the music in the house of the Lord with cymbals, stringed instruments and harps, for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun and Heman were under the authority of the king. So the number of them with their brethren who were instructed in the songs of the Lord, all who were skillful, was 288. And they cast lots for their duty, the small as well as the great, the teacher with the student. So far from the reading of our text. After the proclamation of God's word, let's respond with singing Psalm 68, verse 10 and 12, a psalm that praises God as he returns to Jerusalem with his people, surrounded by dancers and those who are singing and giving him praise for his triumphant victory over his and his people's enemies. Psalm 68, verse 10 and 12. Beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, Mozart, perhaps you have heard the name before. He's a famous musician. And Mozart once said that the pipe organ is the king of instruments. Now, you might be inclined to agree when you begin to realize how complex a pipe organ is and all that is involved with a pipe organ. There's lots of different parts. Perhaps the most obvious feature of a pipe organ, as we see here this morning, is all the pipes. We have wooden pipes, we have metal pipes. Those metal pipes, they've been cut from other pieces of metal. The wooden pipes have been made from other pieces of wood. They're carefully crafted. They're meticulously molded into the specific shape and size that it is. And the reason for doing that is so that the pipe would function like a whistle. Wind passes through, and depending on the size and the shape of the pipe, it is going to make a different sound. Now, one pipe on its own is pretty useless. It doesn't do anything. It needs to be connected to the organ. It also needs to stand in its place among all the other pipes. And only in this way will that individual pipe rest with the other pipes in the pipe organ create the beautiful sound that we hear and can enjoy. And this is a good analogy for our theme this morning from 1 Chronicles 25. Our theme being that the Lord, through his king, in our text, King David, the Lord, through his king, he separates, he directs, and he receives the people's thanks, his people's thanks and praise. And just like how a pipe is specifically cut and molded, so also God, he has cut away sinners from under the power of sin and the devil, and he has given them a new song. He has given them a new purpose in life to be connected to his son Jesus Christ, to be connected to the other pipes in his church, so that them individually and together they may sing of his great redemption and salvation and praise him. We sing a new song, beloved. A song of thanks and praise to him. And this theme of the gospel that I may proclaim to you from 1 Chronicles 25, we can divide under the following three points. The Lord, he separates his people for thanks and praise. The Lord, he directs his people's thanks and praise. And the Lord receives his people's thanks and praise. Now, when we opened our worship this morning, we sang from Psalm 149. Praise him with jubilation, Israel, people of God's choice. In him, your maker, now rejoice. Israel were a chosen people. And the Levites also were a chosen tribe amongst them, and given that wonderful job of teaching and leading God's people in public worship of thanks and praise to him at the temple. This was one of the many jobs that the Levites had. We saw previously when we went through chapter 23 that they were also to serve as officers and judges. They were also appointed to be gatekeepers, and we'll see that next time in chapter 26. The Levites were involved with all those behind-the-scenes type of work that took place in the temple. They would be washing the dishes and utensils at the temple. They'd be getting the food ready for sacrifices. They'd be measuring ingredients and mixing. And then in chapter 23, where all those tasks are listed, and then those tasks are expanded and explained from chapter 24 up to chapter 27, 26, then we read there in chapter 23 that David, he set apart 4,000 for praising the Lord with musical instruments. So amongst all the other tasks that the Levites had, one of those was setting aside 4,000 to praise the Lord with musical instruments in the temple. And David is doing this because God had appointed the Levites to perform that type of service in and around the temple. In Deuteronomy 10 verse 8 we read, "At that time the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and to stand before the Lord to minister it and to bless in his name." So they had the task of ministering to the people the blessing of God. And not only did the Levites play music and sing at the temple, they also went out with the armies of Israel with their trumpets, with their instruments. And that's why David, we see reading in verse 1, he organizes the musicians and the singers with the captains of the army. We see that in 25 verse 1 that we read together. The Levites would go out with the armies of Israel, and they would take their musical instruments along. And we see a good example of this in Chronicles. A beautiful example is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. A remarkable chapter, beloved. And if you have the opportunity to read that today, I encourage you to do so. The armies of Moab, Ammon and Edom, they come against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, he prays to the Lord God, and Lord told him that Jehoshaphat and the people would not need to fight in this battle. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21, Jehoshaphat, he appoints singers at the front of the army. On the front line are Jehoshaphat's singers. And when they began to sing to the Lord delivered Israel from Ammon, Moab, and Edom. Jehoshaphat's soldiers, they did not even have to lift their swords out their sheaths. Verse 22, when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Edom, and they were routed. We read in Exodus 15 about Moses and his song that he immediately sung with the people of Israel after they crossed the Red Sea. We read it, it's a song of victory and triumph over Pharaoh and his armies. And Miriam, with many other women, she takes the tambourine and she starts dancing and singing, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously." And that's why we're going to sing Psalm 68 after the worship service. In this psalm, the Lord is returning from battle, symbolized with him sitting on the ark. And there are dancers and singers accompanied around the ark, and the people of Israel moving to the back to Jerusalem, putting the ark in the tent. And they're singing and praising the Lord for his great victory and salvation for his people. And the point of all this, brothers and sisters, is that Israel, they were a singing people. They were a nation that praised God. They were a people that gave him thanks because they were a delivered people. They were a redeemed people. They were a victorious and a triumphant people. And this is also why believers today are a singing people, beloved. We come into worship to sing and praise our God. For he has called us. He has chosen us. He has given to us his promises of redemption and salvation in his Son Jesus Christ. When we read our text, we see that David is separating and dividing the Levites for this work. That same word, separate and divide, in verse 1 is the same word that is used to speak about the curtain that separated the most holy place from the rest of the temple. The curtain that barred the people of Israel from that holy and glorious presence of God. And that curtain was there, brothers and sisters, because of sin. We read in Isaiah 59 verse 2, "Your iniquities They have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. It is sin that has set us apart from God, beloved. It is sin that has turned his face away from us. And yet, we see that in the Lord's grace and mercy and love, he has turned his face toward us in his Son, Jesus Christ. We see that pictured in the burnt offering sacrifices that were made at the temple, where the Levites would be singing and praising. Those Levites that David is appointing to sing and praise the Lord, they were commanded to stand every morning and thank and praise God, and likewise at evening. 1 Chronicles 23, verse 30. So the Levites, they do sing and praise God in the morning, and they had to sing and praise God in the evening. Now, why did they have to give thanks and praise God twice during the day, in the morning and in the evening? Well, 2 Chronicles 29, verse 27, says that Hezekiah, he commanded that the burnt offering be offered on the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also, and the trumpets accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. And the whole assembly worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. And all this continued until the burnt offering was completed. The burnt offering was offered up in the morning. The burnt offering was offered up in the evening. And at the beginning of the burnt offering to the end of the burnt offering, the Levites sang, they praised, they lifted up their voices, they played their musical instruments. And it was only the blood of that sacrifice, brothers and sisters, that allowed the people of Israel, mediated through the high priest, to come into the presence of God and receive atonement for their sins. That God would then have his face to shine upon them, that the high priest could leave and bless God's people with his favor, that his countenance and face was shining upon them. And that blood of the burnt offering is the blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. In his victorious death, the blood that cleanses us of our sins, the blood that cleans us so that the Father may look upon us, that his countenance may shine upon us, no more remembering our sin, but now a chosen people, a redeemed people, a people set apart from sin, set apart from the devil, set apart from the corruption and lusts and passions that are in the world. And that has been his sovereign grace and work toward us. When you look at the pipe of a pipe organ, brothers and sisters, those metal pipes were not dug out of the ground as they are. They were shaped and crafted to be the shape they are. Similar to the wooden pipes, they didn't just grow like that, like a tree would grow. They were cut from other pieces of timber and crafted. In a similar way, brothers and sisters, God takes you, sinners by nature. He sets you apart from the devil, from the world, from sin. In doing that, he now shapes you, he's molding you for a new service. Not to the world, not to your lusts and passions and your flesh and to the devil, but a new service of praise and thanks. A triumphant song he has given you to sing, beloved, for his great work toward you. And we see this beautifully symbolized in baptism. Baptism is the sign that God has claimed you for himself. That water, the symbol of Christ's blood cleansing you, promising to set you apart from the world, setting you apart from your sins, giving you the Holy Spirit, so that you have a new Lord and Master to serve and not the Lord and Master of the devil and passions and sin and the flesh and the world. And it was then also prayed for you at your baptism too, beloved. It was prayed and said, may he, may she, may valiantly fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion. And may he, she, forever praise and magnify you and your Son, Jesus Christ. He has set us free for a life of praise and to magnify him and his Son, Jesus Christ, for having called us, chosen us, and set us apart for himself. And that's why we sang Psalm 40, verse 4, after the law. You see, we would all be punished under the law because of our sin. And yet, by God's grace, we can sing Psalm 40, from the pit he lifted me, from clay and mire he set me free. The Lord bent down to me, upon a rock he brought me, a new song he taught me. I shout his praise abroad. And are you doing that with your life, brothers and sisters? What sort of sound is your life making? A victorious and triumphant praise to God? Now, sometimes it's hard to do that. We struggle to do that. We still have to fight against the devil and the world and valiantly try and overcome his temptations from day to day. We're struggling against his dominion. And yet, being free from all of that and knowing that that power no longer reigns over us, we still have to struggle through that. But we're not on our own. We don't have to walk this new life on our own, beloved. Because God, having set us apart, he also helps us, and he also directs our thanks and praise to him. For he is the one who is working through us and in us for him. And we see that in our second point, where the Lord directs his people to give thanks and praise. Now, when you look at a pipe organ, you see that there's many different shapes and sizes. They've all been made differently. And the purpose of the particular shape and size that it is so that the air would flow through and make a particular sound. And if a pipe is long or short or wide or thin, it's going to make a different sound. And there's also specific tools that you can use to alter the shape of a pipe to affect and change how it sounds. Now, David the King, he is a little bit like an organ technician. He is setting apart all these Levites with their different gifts and abilities to sing praises to the Lord and play musical instruments. And those Levites, in turn, they would then teach the people of Israel the songs of the Lord. They would do that individually, but they would also be doing that together to give thanks and praise to him. And we are told several times in these verses that the Levites did this by prophesying. This is a word often used to speak about the prophecy of prophets, the words that prophets spoke to the people of Israel. And it simply means being a mouthpiece. So these Levites, they were like a mouthpiece to the people of Israel, teaching them about the works of the Lord and putting that to song. And then we read that they were to also know these, and they were to teach the people of Israel them as well. We read that in verse 7. Verse 7 says there that they were instructed to sing the songs of the Lord. So the songs of the Lord were based on his great works. They were composed by men like David and Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun. They were seers to King David. And David, together with Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, they were prophets. The Holy Spirit, he revealed God's word to them, and they composed these psalms into songs, and together with harps and lyres and cymbals, the Levites would sing them. And we see that in the psalms, those written by these men, we see many psalms written by King David. We see Heman, he wrote Psalm 88. And we know many psalms written by Asaph. And Jeduthun, he also was a composer of psalms, Psalm 39, 62, and 77. So these were prophets who composed God's words, and they also had them taught to the Levites to sing them. And believers today are also prophets, brothers and sisters. We are prophets to utter the praises of God, declaring his great works. Immediately after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, we read that the disciples, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that word utterance is the same word being used here to prophesy. And now that God has poured out his Holy Spirit on his people, he has given that also to the church and to believers. He gives them a new utterance to sing his praises. And through the Holy Spirit, he is directing your praise to your Father in heaven. That was prophesied already in the Old Testament by Joel. It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And that is what is happening today, beloved. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, your sons, your daughters are prophesying to God. And that takes place, beloved, by the Holy Spirit, directing and lifting our hearts and our voices and our praise to God. Just like how a pipe organ, it works by that wind blowing through. So also the wind of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit also brings your praises up to God. He has given you a new heart, a new mind, a new mouth. He has given you a new voice to speak and praise your God and Father in heaven. No longer a spirit of the age or of the world or corruption, but the Holy Spirit set apart for worship to your Father in heaven. And that's why we also read from Colossians chapter 3. Having been raised with Christ, believers are set free from sin and death. That power no longer reigns over them. And so he has given us lives set apart to sing the Lord's songs, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. All God's works speak of and are fulfilled in Jesus Christ for our salvation. And so let us have God's word dwell in us richly, the word of Christ, that we may praise him for the great works he has done for us and for our children. So how important it is, beloved, to know God's word. So we learn about his works in the past, in the present, in the future. So we can teach our children about the works of the Lord as well. We can teach them as parents. We can teach our children as the covenant community. It happens at school. And then the children, they come home and learn their psalms at school. How important it is, children, to be learning those psalms. The Lord has given you those psalms to sing. He's chosen and called you to belong to him. So keep practicing those psalms, children. And lift up your voices in praise to the Lord. He has called you to belong to him. And you can sing God's praises because you are a victorious and triumphant in him, in his Son, Jesus Christ, past, present, future. Parents, when your children have nightmares and they don't sleep well, what do? Perhaps sing their psalms to them, the psalms they're learning at school. Just like King Jehoshaphat and the army of the Lord in lifting up their voices, in blowing those trumpets, singing the songs of the Lord. And in that moment, the Lord caused Moab and Edom and also Ammon to be confused and routed. He set an ambush in place. And all Jehoshaphat and the people had to do was watch from a distance. Beloved, the songs that the Lord has given to you, they do dispel dark thoughts, doubts, anxieties, worries, temptations. Sing those songs. Sing them from your heart. Believe it and do it. How many times we see King David in the Psalms beginning with such despair and crying out, distressed, depressed, anxious for his life. And then he brings his praise to God and he works through the psalm, and by the end of the psalm he is with exuberant praise to God as he recalls the great works and mighty deeds and faithfulness of the Lord. He is brought out of that bit of despair, brought to that rock of praise and worship to God. And we can now do that too with the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters. We can sing on our own, and maybe you do that. We can sing together, hum those psalms, whistle them in our minds and meditate on them. Speaking the words of the Lord to each other, we do that in church as well. We come to church, we prophesy to one another. Through our singing, we encourage each other. Through our singing, we remind each other of God's faithful promises. Through our singing, we're also confessing our sins. Through our singing, we give thanks and praise to God together. We also admonish one another and warn each other. Because God also does warn and admonish us, beloved. When do we sing the praises of the Lord? Is it perhaps only when we come to church? Do you praise Him during the week? Perhaps in family worship? Or in your heart? Do you understand the songs that you're singing in church or at home? The psalms that God has given to you? If not, why not? Does Christ's word dwell in you richly? Or perhaps are you just giving Him a lip service when you sing these psalms? We must also examine ourselves, beloved. God warns and admonishes us. Because you've been set apart by God, you must distinguish yourself from the world rather than trying to be a part of the world and sing the songs of the world. To sing the songs of the world, to be part of the world, is to deny the great work of God's salvation that He has done for you in Jesus Christ, that He has delivered and given to you. The Levites and priests, they had to distinguish themselves, they had to separate between holy and unholy. And you need to separate yourselves from the world by choosing the things of God. The Lord says in His word that not to do so is a detestable thing in His sight. Those who do not walk in faithfulness, but choose what is detestable, God warns, He will single them out. He will cut them off from His people. He will bring calamity upon them and the curses of the covenant. And Israel learned that lesson the hard way, beloved. Israel went into Babylon, cut away from temple worship, where the Levites sung, where the people gathered to receive the blessing and fellowship of God, where His face would shine upon them. And in Babylon, they could not sing the Lord's songs, beloved. Psalm 137. They sat by the rivers of Babylon. How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? Don't sing the foreign songs of the world, beloved, but the songs that the Lord has delivered to you for your salvation and redemption. Now, there is a technique for pipe organs called voicing a pipe. It's what organ technicians will often do. This means that you can do different things to a pipe in order to change the way that it sounds. Every pipe has an aperture at the bottom, and there's things you can do to the aperture to affect the way it sounds. To voice an organ, you may need to put certain pressure on the pipe. You might need to file down some metal. There's even a technique of opening up the aperture of the pipe by squeezing a cone-shaped metal rod in there to open up the pipe even more. And all these different things you can do to a pipe, it affects the way that it sounds, and it's called voicing a pipe. Now, beloved, our life goes through a very similar process like voicing a pipe, because we are individual pipes. God's children are being voiced more and more to sing the praises of God. In life, beloved, when you feel squeezed, when you are under pressure, when you feel like you are that pipe being filed down, or that piece of wood being chiseled at a little bit because the aperture needs to be opened up more, you can always remember, God is voicing me. I'm under pressure. I'm feeling squeezed by the challenges of life. But God is voicing you. God has been at work in the past, the present, and the future. He is at work on your life to perfect those praises of giving thanks and praise to Him. And now that the Lord has set His people apart for that, as He has set you apart for that, and how He, through the Spirit, is directing your praise in your life to give more and more that perfect praise to Him, He receives that for His own glory and honor. And we see that in our third point, how the Lord receives from His people thanks and praise. We are not isolated in our praise and thanks to God, beloved. Everyone has different gifts and abilities that the Lord uses for the body that will also bring praise and glory to Him. And all pipes in the organ are different. There's not one that's the same. And we read in verse 8 of our text that lots were cast for the small and the great, the teacher with the student alike. That's teaching us that all God's children, beloved, in church here in Albany, we all have that equal standing before God's throne in Jesus Christ to sing His praises, the young children, as well as the adults and the elderly amongst us. And that's what makes the church a beautiful voice of praise to God. Everyone bringing something different to the body of Christ, helping each other grow. Everyone singing with the gifts that God's given to them. And when we are all connected to Christ by faith and in the church, we'll become more and more effective in our praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Together, beloved, Albany here, together we can be the loveliest sounding pipe organ. When we love Christ, when we love the church, when we're walking in faith with our Savior, being connected to Him, the Holy Spirit will work in our lives so that more and more individually and also together we will reflect overall that beautiful universal church and bride of Christ who is holy and one, without blemish and spot and wrinkle, giving its praise to God from generation to generation. That's why we also read from Revelation 14. That verses speak about how the Lord is receiving praise from the 144,000 through a new song. In the previous chapter, chapter 13, there's the persecution of the church by the dragon and the beast. But in chapter 14, Christ, He is standing there in Mount Zion. He's standing there with His 144,000. He is present with those He has set apart from the beginning of the age until the time when He returns. He will take His people into Mount Zion, to the new heavens and the new earth. And we read there that these 144,000, they will learn a new song to praise God. They will have a new song that will praise Him for all eternity. A new song because of the wondrous works that He has done from the beginning of the world to the end. A psalm that we will praise him for because of his great redemption on the earth. And so to let us then hope and persevere in God's future work, beloved, for us and for a church. And also as he brings his great work of redemption to completion. So as those verses speak there, let us not be defiled by the world, but let us patiently wait until we are standing before the throne of God, singing the new song that he will teach us. That, beloved, will be the greatest victory song ever. A song praised to God by his complete number that he has set apart from the world, that he has set you apart to do, that he also now by his Spirit is directing you toward. And then he will receive that for his glory and his honor. So come, let us thank and let us praise the Lord now and forever. Amen.